Welcome back to the North Carolina Reading Service. Your readers are
Judith Dykstra
and Anadine Silver. We will begin the second hour of news from the NNO from the New Bern Sun Journal, Greenville Daily Reflector, and the Wilmington Star News. But first, we begin with the TV listings and for tonight, and Judith.
And for tonight, ABC starts their 8 o'clock hour with 911. That's a one-hour show. And at 9 to 10, they'll be airing Dr. Odyssey, and 10 to 11, Grey's Anatomy. CBS starts their broadcasting at 8 o'clock with George and Mandy at 8 to 8:30, Ghosts from 8:30 to 9, and 9 to 10, two one-hour episodes of Elspeth. Fox starts with Next Level Chef, and that'll be aired from 8 to 9. 9 to 10 is Farmer Wants a Wife, followed by the 10 p.m. news. NBC is airing Law and Order from 8 to 10, two one-hour episodes, and then from 10 to 11, an episode of Found. ION is Chicago PD all night tonight, three one-hour episodes beginning at 8 o'clock and ending at 11. PBS starts tonight with My Home NC, 8 to 8:30. 8:30 to 9 is Psy NC. 9 to 9:30, North Carolina Weekend. 9:30 to 10, Shaped by Sound. And then 10 to 11, Real South. MNT starts at 8 o'clock with Dateline, and they are going to be airing three one-hour episodes of Dateline beginning at 8 o'clock and ending at 11. CW starts at 8 o'clock with Police 24/7. And then from 9 to 10, Bill O'Reilly's 100 Days of Trump. Are You Better? And then from 10 to 11, the National News Desk. A&E starts at 8 o'clock with Critical Minutes. That's going to go for 1 hour. And then from 9 to 10, Accused, 1 hour episode, Impulsive Shooter or Terrified Neighbor is the title of that particular episode of Accused. And then an additional episode of Accused from 10 to 11. And the description here says Staircase Shooter or Defensive Dad. AMC is airing the movie Ferris Bueller's Day Off. It's going to go from 8 to 10:30 and then followed by Breakfast Club, which starts at 10:30 and that'll go at least 2 hours. BET starts at 6:30 tonight with Money Talks, a movie with Charlie Sheen, taking it up to 9 o'clock with two half-hour episodes of Worse. And then from 10 to 11, two one-half-hour episodes of Ms. Pat. Disney starts at 8 o'clock with Big City Greens, two one-half-hour episodes from 8 to 9, followed by 9 to 9:30, Stu, Go, 9:30 to 10, Kiff, 10 to 10:30, Zombies, and 10:30 to 11, Ladybug. The Discovery Channel is airing Expedition Unknown from 8 to 10, and an additional Expedition Unknown from 10 to 11. ESPN starts at 7 o'clock with NHL Hockey, Carolina Hurricanes, at Washington Capitals Eastern. That'll go till 9:30, and then it says here at 9:30 they're going to be airing NHL Hockey, Edmonton Oilers at Vegas. Nick is all about Friends tonight. Six one-half-hour episodes beginning at 8 o'clock and ending at 11. TNT starts at 8 o'clock with, it says here, NBA tip-off. And then from 8:30 to 11, NBA basketball Western Conference semifinal game two, teams to be announced. And then finally tonight, USA is starting at 8 o'clock with the movie Mission Impossible. And that's from 1996. Going to 10:30, and then they'll be airing the movie Nobody. That will go well beyond 11 o'clock. And those are our TV listings for tonight.
Thank you. And now we have our wellness articles. And today we've chosen two smaller articles. And one is how to get fast relief from foot pain. Foot pain can prevent you from walking and engaging in other healthy activities as often as you'd like. But there are ways to relieve foot pain using a few simple strategies. No over-the-counter pain relievers required. Here's what can reduce pain quickly. Big toe pain? Sip cherry juice. Compounds found in tart cherries and their juice have a study-backed ability to lower uric acid levels in the body, which can cause toe pain in people with gout. And according to Michelle Shofro-Cook, Ph.D., drinking 4 tablespoons of juice mixed in 8 ounces of water can deliver pain relief in as little as 20 minutes. Prefer to snack on whole cherries instead? A study from Boston University School of Medicine found that people who ate about a cup of cherries daily significantly reduced their risk of gout flare-ups within just 2 days. Burning feet. Take B12. Burning and a painful pins and needles feeling in the feet are classic signs of diabetic neuropathy, the nerve damage triggered by diabetes. Fortunately, research conducted in India reveals that taking 500 micrograms of methylcobalamin, a highly absorbable form of vitamin B12, 3 times a week can help alleviate nerve pain in as little as 4 weeks. Experts explain that B12 boosts nerve healing and regeneration while reducing erratic nerve signals that can trigger pain. Achy arches. Wear insoles. Fitting shoes with supportive insoles eases pain-producing pressure on arches, say experts reporting in the journal Clinics in Orthopedic Surgery. And in welcome news for budget-conscious women, investigators at the University of Oklahoma Health Science Center concluded that prefabricated insoles eased pain as effectively as pricier custom-made orthotics. Heel pain. Grab a tennis ball. Sure, draping an ice pack over sore feet can ease discomfort, but when it comes to taming the heel pain caused by plantar fasciitis, a study in the International Journal of Therapeutic Massage and Bodywork suggests rolling your soles over a frozen tennis ball provides even better relief. Researchers found that folks who used the strategy on their affected foot for 2 minutes every other day, experienced marked reduction in heel pain after 5 days. The icy massage lowers pain-producing tension and inflammation in the plantar fascia, the ligaments that run along the bottom of your foot. Sore joints? Try a capsaicin cream. If arthritis is making your feet and ankles ache, consider reaching for a capsaicin cream. Capsaicin is a compound that tricks the brain by faking a sensation of warmth, which confuses the body's chemical messengers and makes them less able to transmit pain signals. A study at Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland found that 80% of folks with osteoarthritis who used capsaicin cream daily reported less pain in 2 weeks. That's better than non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs and without side effects. Sounds good. And we have one other short article, and this is home remedies for those awkward bothers. Whether you're chasing after little kids or catching up with friends at a luncheon, little issues like sweaty palms or foot odor can feel like big distractions. The good news? These awkward health hassles are incredibly common and incredibly easy to fix. With a few expert-backed tricks and household staples, you can stay confident, comfortable, and fresh, no matter where the day takes you. From bad breath to blemishes, here's how to handle the most common health hiccups quickly and discreetly, so nothing gets in the way of your fun. Banish sweaty hands with a bathroom staple. The same antiperspirant you use to block underarm sweat works for hands, too, notes a review in Clinical Cosmetic and Investigational Dermatology. The trick, apply a smooth layer over the palms of your hands just before bed, the night before a meet and greet, then wash off any remaining residue in the morning. Since sweat glands are less active at night, applying before bed allows the active ingredient, aluminum chloride, to plug sweat glands more effectively, helping you shake hands with confidence for up to 24 hours. Freshen breath with a zinc lozenge. To lean in and share inside jokes without worry, dissolve a zinc lozenge in your mouth before you head to a get-together. Instead of masking odor like gum or mouthwash, zinc molecules kill bacteria that produce halitosis, triggering volatile sulfur compounds. The payoff, a single lozenge can fend off bad breath for up to 12 hours, suggests Stony Brook University research. Bonus, zinc lowers your chance of catching a cold while you gab, suggests a study in molecular medicine. Nix foot funk with milk of magnesia. Wish you could step out in your favorite strappy sandals without worrying whether you're wafting off a funky foot odor? Give milk of magnesia a try. Japanese research suggests that dabbing cleansed feet with a cotton ball soaked in diluted milk of magnesia, also known as magnesium hydroxide, and letting it dry tames microbes responsible for foot funk, keeping feet fresh for up to 24 hours. Another one is stop a nosebleed with a nasal spray. If a nosebleed strikes as you're about to sit down to dinner with the family, grab Afrin, a.k.a. oxymetazoline. Nasal spray from the bathroom cabinet. Very gently blow your nose, then mist two or three times into each nostril and pinch for at least 5 minutes, recommends the Mayo Clinic. The study in the Hawaiian Medical Journal suggests this stops 75% of nosebleeds in their tracks and even helps prevent them from reoccurring by quickly constricting blood vessels in the nose. And last but not least, tame acne with clove oil. Still dealing with frustrating jawline breakouts long past your teen years? Adult acne is more common than ever, especially for women during menopause, when shifting hormones can increase inflation and oil production. A fast fix, dab menospots that pop up along your jawline or chin with a drop of clove oil. It's eugenol tamps down inflammation and speeds healing, according to a study. Plus, the natural antimicrobial properties of clove oil help prevent future blemishes. And now we go to Judith for the announcements.
And we have several announcements for our listeners this morning. From the Disability Rights North Carolina, the following is what they're asking us to share with you. Our work is threatened. Can we count on you so our community can continue to count on us? Did you know this year marks the 50th anniversary of the Protection and Advocacy, or the PNA Network? As North Carolina's designated PNA, Disability Rights of North Carolina has proudly carried out our federally mandated mission, protecting and advocating for the rights of people with disabilities across our state. Funding cuts threaten the services and protections we provide to individuals with disabilities and those who love and care for them. This isn't just a budget line. This is about real people losing access to education, health care, safe housing, and the support they need to live with dignity and independence. We are proud of what we've accomplished, but we cannot continue this work without your support. We urge you to act now to protect the rights and safety of disabled North Carolinians. Together, we've built something powerful over the last 50 years. Let's make sure it lasts for the next 50 and beyond. To find out how you can help, go to https://disabilityrightsnc.org/takeaction. And we have some local plays with audio description. And in Raleigh, Sunday, May 11th, Schoolhouse Rock Live, Jr., 3 p.m. at the Raleigh Little Theater, 301 Pogue Street in Raleigh. And if you need more information, call 919-821-3111. And there's a note here that says, free ticket for your driver. Be sure to ask. In Greensboro, Saturday, May 10th, Back to the Future, 2 p.m. Also on Sunday, May 11th, Back to the Future at 1 p.m. Tanger Center, 300 North Elm Street in Greensboro. For more information, call 336-333-6500. Tactile tours are available at the North Carolina Museum of Art, and these tours are designed for visitors who are blind or have low vision. The docent-led tours explore the museum's collection through audio description, tactile experiences, and by engaging the senses. Tours are available by request only. You must arrange them at least 2 weeks in advance. To schedule a tactile tour, please contact Accessibility Coordinator Molly Hull at mhull@ncartmuseum.org or call 919-664-6854. Have you obtained your free currency reader yet? The Department of Treasury's Bureau of Engraving and Printing is now providing a free currency reader to all eligible blind or visually impaired individuals. The device is small, compact, and runs on a AAA battery, which is included. To use the currency reader, simply insert a U.S. bill into the reader and press the button. The device will tell the note's denomination. To request your currency reader, fill out an application form, which is available to download at www.bep.gov. It must be signed by a competent authority, such as a doctor who can certify your eligibility. Then simply mail it to the address on the application. Once your application is verified, a reader will be mailed to you at no charge. For more information about the U.S. Currency Reader Program, visit www.bep.gov or call toll-free 844-815-9388. You're listening to the North Carolina Reading Service, connecting people who are blind and print impaired to each other, their families, and communities by delivering news, information, and entertainment using the latest audio technology. In addition to using specially tuned subchannel radio receivers, NCRS streams our programming on our website at ncreadingservice.org. Listen by using the Listen Live streaming audio player located at the upper right-hand corner of our website pages. If you have an assistive technology device, such as Alexa or Google Home, just say, "Tune in NC Reading Service" to listen instantly. We also provide podcasts of over 50 magazines and other information and entertainment programs following the initial broadcast. Please visit our website, ncreadingservice.org, and click on Skip to Podcast section. For more information about the North Carolina Reading Service, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138, and we thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.
And now we will go to the coast with our news, and we start with Wilmington and the Star News. And this article is, "Where are the new walking paths in Wilmington, North Carolina?" NCDOT recently completed a $2.3 million bike lane resurfacing and preservation project in Wrightsville Beach. A multi-use path connecting Middle Sound Loop Road and Red Cedar Road to Market Street is slated for construction bids in June. A planned 10-foot path along South 17th Street from Harbor Drive to Shipyard Boulevard is delayed due to funding. And the Downtown Trail, a 1.7-mile multi-phase project, is awaiting funding. A collection of multi-use paths are headed to New Hanover County. Whether you're jogging, biking, or just out for a casual stroll, the Wilmington area has a variety of trails and greenways that connect to some of the area's most popular spots. The NC Department of Transportation recently completed a $2.3 million bike lane resurfacing and preservation project in Wrightsville Beach. The department has installed bike lanes on Causeway Drive and West Salisbury Street, in addition to expanding the pedestrian loop on North Lumina Avenue. Here's what's next for multi-use paths in New Hanover. Middle Sound Loop Road Path. Where in Ogden? What will be built? A multi-use path starting at the intersection of Middle Sound Loop Road and Red Cedar Road will connect to an existing trail at the corner of Market Street and Middle Sound Loop Road. The cost is $1,500,000. The timeline is NCDOT will open advertised bids for construction on this project in June. This path is coupled with another project that will improve pedestrian interconnectivity along Middle Sound Loop Road and near Walmart in Porter's Neck. And here another one is it Shipyard Boulevard. What will be built? A 10-foot path along South 17th Street from Harbor Drive to Shipyard Boulevard. The project will also include the installation of crosswalks and pedestrian signal heads at the 17th and Shipyard intersection. The cost is $3,918,000. The timeline is this project has been delayed due to funding. There is currently no timeline available. With New Hanover property at a premium, what keeps big buildings vacant? New Hanover home buyer value menu. Here's where to get the most of your money. Wilmington is one of the fastest growing areas in the country. Here's what could stop it. With thousands of new homes along the Cape Fear River, some residents consider relocating. New Hanover's top 10 most expensive homes sold in 2024. New Hanover to see several major road projects begin by 2033 as others remain uncertain. Downtown Trail Phase 1. Where downtown Wilmington? What will be built? A 1.7-mile trail beginning near the intersection of 3rd and Campbell Streets. The trail will connect to the Love Grove Memorial Bridge with the first half-mile corridor running along the former Atlantic Coast Railway. The second phase of the project will connect the trail from Archie Blue Park to Market Street via the Love Grove Memorial Bridge or a new bridge. Phase 3 of the project will connect the trail from Market Street to Forest Hills Elementary. Amenities such as lighting, benches, landscaping, and public arts are expected to be incorporated in a later phase. The cost is $680,000. The timeline, the project is not currently funded for construction. While it may be several years before these projects are completed, New Hanover has many walking trails for those looking to spend more time outdoors. The Greenfield Lake Park Trail is a 3.9-mile loop starting at 1739 Burnett Boulevard. Halliburton, Longleaf, and Smith Creek Parks all feature mile-long trails in some of the county's greenest areas. Judith?
And next up from the Wilmington Star News, the headline reads, "The point on Topsail Island is now preserved, so what happens next?" Thanks to strong public and private financial support, the NC Coastal Land Trust completed the purchase of the undeveloped sandy spit in late April. The NC Coastal Land Trust purchased the 150-acre point at the southern tip of Topsail Island to prevent development. The point will be managed similarly to how it has been, allowing public access while protecting its natural resources. The land trust will transfer ownership to the NC Division of Coastal Management after processing paperwork and receiving grants. The point is now safe from development, and that's music to the ears of Tommy Smith, who appropriately was visiting Pender County from Nashville, Tennessee. "It would have been a shame to lose this beautiful place," said the frequent visitor to Topsail Island, as he walked along the soundside beach of the Sandy Spit on a balmy early May day. "We've got plenty of beach homes. What we don't have left are places like this." At the end of April, the NC Coastal Land Trust closed on the purchase of the roughly 150-acre undeveloped site at the southern tip of Topsail Beach. The successful campaign brought to an end an aggressive, nearly year-long effort by the Land Preservation Group to protect the popular beach area from development. "This is a win-win for the environment and the community," said Eric Vreeland, Director of Strategic Advancement for the Land Trust. What is the point? The area, colloquially known as the point, is a beloved undeveloped space of oceanfront property at the southern end of Topsail Island. Long a favorite of residents and visitors to the Pender County Resort Island, looking to get away from the crowded beach scene, the roughly 150-acre parcel in Topsail Beach is a mix of beach, dunes, wetlands, and scrub forest that serves as vital habitat for a host of coastal flora and fauna, including nesting sea turtles and shorebirds. The area borders Topsail Beach to the north and New Topsail Inlet, which separates Topsail Island and Leah Huddiff Island to the south. It is bracketed by the Atlantic Ocean on one side and the Intracoastal Waterway on the other. Although privately owned, the point has been perceived by many for decades as a quasi-public area. But that distinction came into full light a couple of years ago when a Raleigh family that owned the land announced plans to develop the site as a family compound. The public reaction to the development plan was swift and largely negative, and after several years of back and forth negotiations with local officials, the owners announced in late 2023 that they were pulling their rezoning request. Then in March 2024, the Land Trust announced it had reached a deal to purchase the land and turn it over to the NC Division of Coastal Management to be protected as a natural site, like Masonboro Island. But there was only one catch, and it was a big one. The nonprofit needed to raise nearly $7.8 million by March 2025. Vreeland said the community support to protect the point has been overwhelming, with the Land Trust raising roughly $1.6 million from more than 800 private donors. Those funds have been supplemented by several federal and state grant awards, including a nearly $3 million grant from the NC Land and Water Fund and a $1 million award from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Topsail Beach also has helped out, agreeing to buy a parking lot and another acre of land from the Land Trust to protect and improve public access to the site. This beautiful and beloved section of Topsail is now protected forever, said Mayor Frank Braxton in a release. We're thrilled to partner with the Coastal Land Trust to ensure its natural beauty is preserved for future generations. While the point is now in the Land Trust's hands, Vreeland said visitors shouldn't expect to see too many changes by the way the site has always been managed. That includes working with volunteers and groups like Audubon, North Carolina, to protect nesting birds, remove debris, and lead educational walks around the site. And a local group, Conserve the Point Topsail, that helped galvanize community support to protect the point, has said it plans to continue to promote the ongoing conservation efforts and proper management of the site. The idea is to protect the environment, but still allow people to enjoy the beach walking experience they've come to enjoy over the years and decades, Vreeland said. Vreeland said the Land Trust will spend the next year or so working through all the paperwork of being the site's new owners, and that includes waiting for the federal and state grants it has been awarded for the point's purchase to come through. Once that's all taken care of and the property is paid off, the Land Trust will turn it over to the state.
Thank you. And now we'll go to New Bern with the Sun Journal. And this article is Secretary of State Highlights Business Climate During Visit. NC Secretary of State Elaine F. Marshall visited New Bern for a business roundtable to discuss the rural resources for innovators, startups, and entrepreneurs NC initiative. Marshall was joined by several small business owners, economic developers, small business advocates, and area leaders at the Craven Community College Volt Center Friday. Her office has hosted about 23 business roundtables in various counties across the state to promote the Rural Rise NC initiative, which puts helpful resources in the hands of business creators early on. Through the initiative, new business owners in 93 North Carolina counties have access to a comprehensive guide that connects them with small business lenders, counselors, and more within their community. The Rural Rise Initiative was prompted by a 2021 survey conducted by Marshall's office to determine who is starting businesses in the state, why, and what resources they need to be successful. Marshall's office began pondering these questions due to an explosion of new businesses in North Carolina in 2021. Although she didn't expect it, Marshall said the increased business activity coincided with the COVID pandemic. Our data shows that over the last 4 years, North Carolina has been on fire for business creations, Marshall said. In mid-2020, while we were on lockdown, all of a sudden we were experiencing this explosive growth in new business entities. In 2021, almost 180,000 new businesses filed with the Secretary of State's office, which was a jump from the approximately 120,000 filed the year before. Although there has been a slight drop since 2021, at least 160,000 businesses filed in consecutive years. However, Marshall's office found that one in four new businesses in North Carolina close by their third year of operation and half close by their seventh year. We know that we've got a very short window of time to help these new businesses and with resources, Marshall said. That's why we launched Rural Rise, to help businesses get immediate access to crucial resources that bring these business owners to the success that they want. The new business survey initially focused on COVID-era 2020 businesses, but comparative data was collected for 2018 through 21. New businesses that provided email addresses with the Secretary of State's office were included in the survey. The survey found that funding, government regulation, and back office help were the largest obstacles small business owners faced when they first started. The survey also found that many small business owners weren't aware of the various resources within their community through local colleges, nonprofits, and local government. The disturbing fact was that when asked, community college was one of the choices on the drop-down list, but only 8% said they had utilized the services of community colleges, Marshall said. The community college is one of our absolute best resources here in North Carolina, and so many people just don't know about it. Marshall also praised Craven Community College for its small business center, which provides free counseling, training, and resource information for entrepreneurs. Other area resources, Marshall mentioned, include the Small Business and Technology Development Center of North Carolina at East Carolina University, Craven County's Economic Development Department, and the Craven 100 Alliance, as well as the Havelock Chamber of Commerce and New Bern Area Chamber of Commerce. Now, through the Rural Rise Initiative, when a new business files in North Carolina, they receive an electronic bulletin via email with resources specific to their county. The pilot program started with 14 rural counties and expanded to 93 of 100 NC counties, 78 of which are rural. We've done basically all the counties except the major urban areas, Marshall said. I'm not sure we'll map those out because the ecosystem in places like Raleigh, Durham, Charlotte is pretty full. The ecosystem for entrepreneurship is difficult in small counties and more distant counties. The further away you get from Raleigh, the thinner that ecosystem gets. After Marshall discussed the new business survey and Rural Rise Initiative, Owners of each of the 10 businesses in attendance could ask questions or provide feedback. A few business owners, like Todd Witsnant of Coastal Soul in New Bern, Gretchen DePeza of Benjamin Ellis House Bed and Breakfast in New Bern, and Jennifer Bassler of All American Pet Resort in New Bern, said that staffing is an issue. I'm sure a lot of people's biggest obstacle, I think, is trying to find people, Witsnant said. It just seems like the last 5 years people don't want to work. Financing was not an issue in the beginning, but at this point it's going to be because we are growing so fast and need to look at other resources as we look to add more staff, Basler added. DePeza agreed that the biggest issue she and her husband face with their bed and breakfast is keeping staff, specifically housekeepers. Bill Wheeler of Nautical Wheelers in Oriental and New Bern said staffing is a challenge, but bookkeeping and accounting services are larger challenges. My wife is very good with accounting and bookkeeping, he said, but to get that outside accounting or oversight and bigger view is a challenge because we've had trouble getting those professionals to take on our business. Leaders of Craven Community College, including President Ray Statz, Dean of the Volt Center, Jeffrey Schultz, Associate Dean of the Volt Center, Drew Meadows, Director of the Small Business Center, Jeff Wilkie, and Director of Community Engagement, Craig Ramey, listened in on the Business Roundtable. After listening to the business owners, Statz announced that the college plans to look into a workforce development office for bookkeeping services. Just in the last few minutes, we've already started talking about looking for a workforce connection that could apply to bookkeeping, he said. Other area leaders like Mayor Jeffrey Odom and Craven County Board of Commissioners Chairman Denny Butcher also listened in on the roundtable. Both noted that the information they heard was valuable. DePeza said that, as a business owner, it was also helpful to hear about challenges, advantages, and opportunities other business owners have experienced in Craven County. What was wonderful is the fact that the secretary came here and was explaining the programs that are available to help support businesses in New Bern, and specifically in Craven County, she said. I was not aware of some of these resources that are available through the Secretary of State's office, so it was really helpful for us to learn that these resources are available online. It was really an eye-opener for me to help see what resources are available for businesses. Judith?
And this from the New Bern Sun Journal. The headline reads, Letter Carriers to Help Stamp Out Hunger on Saturday. Saturday marks the 32nd anniversary of the National Association of Letter Carriers Stamp Out Hunger Food Drive, and the New Bern branch is preparing to do its part. The National Association of Letter Carriers is a nonprofit union of the letter carriers that work at the post office. Each year, on the second Saturday in May, letter carriers and rural carriers across the country collect non-perishable food donations from customers, explained Jason Cobbs, local branch 780 food drive coordinator. Craven County residents who would like to participate can leave non-perishable food donations by their mailbox or front door Saturday for a collection. Any residents who wish to volunteer to be a driver to help pick up food Saturday can contact Cobbs at jbirdcobbs@yahoo.com or call Religious Community Services at 252-633-2767. Cobb said area donations will remain in the community. Donations will be sent to Religious Community Services, 919 George Street in New Bern. Religious Community Services is a faith-based organization that aims to address the basic needs of the community by providing food, clothing, and shelter to those who need it most. The organization serves Craven, Jones, and Pamlico counties. Since its inception, the drive has collected 2 billion pounds of food nationwide, Cobb said. Cobb explained that the need for food donations is great, stating that more than 42 million Americans are unsure where their next meal will come from. Our food drive is crucial because most food banks and pantries really receive most of their donations around Thanksgiving and Christmas, he said. By the time spring and summer come, the supplies are low.
Thank you. And also remember that in Raleigh, it's also happening all over, Durham, etc. Mail carriers will also be hoping for bags of some possible food. Thank you. And now we go to Greenville with the Reflector. And I have today's May 8th community news. A community shred event and medicine drop will be held from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Friday at the Farmville Community Center, 3886 South Main Street in Farmville. There is a shred limit of 3 boxes or bags, no binders or binder clips. No liquids, syringes, or needles will be accepted for the medicine for the medicine drop. The Pitt County Arboretum, 403 Government Circle, will hold a walking tour from noon to 1 p.m. on Friday. The topic will be foliage is not just for fall. Plants with exceptional leaf color for all seasons. Attendance is free. Pre-register at tinyurl.com/arboretum-walk-color. Haddock Capel FWB Church, 1548 Ivy Road in Winterville, will hold a quarterly meeting and celebrate Mother's Day at 11 a.m. on Sunday. The Winterville Chamber of Commerce will host Business Before Hours from 8 to 9 a.m. on Wednesday at Cooper's Cup, 2588 Railroad Street. This is a floating event. Local businesses are encouraged to donate door prizes. For more information, go to www.wintervillechamber.com. Coffee with a Cop will be held from 9 to 10:30 a.m. on May 16th at Cooper's Cup, 2588 Railroad Street, Winterville. Join officers from the Winterville Police Department to discuss ideas and community issues. Build relationships and enjoy a cup of coffee. The Greenville Pitt County Chamber of Commerce will host its May Power Luncheon from noon to 1 p.m. on May 20th at the Hilton Greenville, 207 Southwest Greenville Boulevard. The program will feature State Auditor Dave Bulliak. Lunch will be available at 11:30 a.m. Member fee is $35. Non-member fee is $45. Register at greenvillenc.org/events/may-power-luncheon-2025. RSVP by noon on May 16th. Call 752-4101, extension 2223. The American Legion Auxiliary Unit 39 will sponsor a multifamily yard sale from 7 a.m. to noon on May 17 at 200 Tuckahoe Drive. The sale will include dishes, books, Christmas decorations, clothes, shoes, household items, throw pillows, lamps, and much more. Proceeds will support local veterans. ACES for Autism, 654 Worthington Road, Winterville, will host its second annual color run at 9 a.m. on May 17th. Cost is $30 for individuals or $20 per person in a team of six or more. Proceeds will support ACES for Autism programming. Register at tinyurl.com/mr36yen4 or visit facebook.com/acesforautismnc. A Penny Pinchers Healthy Grocery Store Tour will be held at 6 p.m. May 22nd at the Food Lion at 4822 Old Tar Road, Winterville. Participants will learn how to stretch their food budget, read labels, and make healthy choices. Reserve a spot by contacting DeVette Thomas at 847-6497 or dmthomas at ecuhealth.org. Greenville USA Dance will hold a social dance from 7 to 9 p.m. on May 31st at the Turnage Theater, 150 West Main Street, Washington, NC. A lesson for slow dancing will be held at the start of the event. DJ will be Terry Ramos. Cost is $10 per person. Visit the Down East Community Dance News page on Facebook or social_dancing_in_NC on Instagram. And last but not least, the Extension Master Gardener Volunteers of Pitt County are hosting a plant swap at 9:30 a.m. on June 7th at the Pitt County Arboretum. 403 Government Circle. Bring up to 5 plants or gardening tools, planters, etc., provided they are healthy and in good condition, and pick up to 5 that others have brought to take home. Swapping will start about 10 a.m. Please identify plants with a label. Judith?
And this from the Greenville Reflector. The headline reads, Greenville Town Common to close for 400 days starting in July for transformative bulkhead project. The Greenville Town Common will close for more than a year in July so work can begin on a nearly $20 million project to replace the Tar River bulkhead and make transformational improvements at the city central park. The City Council this week approved contracts to begin the long-awaited project that will remake the city's waterfront with terraced access to the river, improved walkways, and upgrades for the Greenville Toyota Amphitheater. Construction is expected to take approximately 400 days, Mark Nottingham, City Projects and Development Manager, said at Monday's council meeting. Activities normally held at the park will be relocated. The Sunday and the Park Summer Concert Series has been shortened to 3 shows this year, but the city has added a 2-show fall lineup at Wildwood Park. The last event before the closure will be the city's annual 4th of July celebration, officials said. Crews will have to undertake a difficult job that will be tested by weather and river levels. Work in the river itself will be limited to the fall and winter to mitigate possible impacts on endangered species, Nottingham said prior to the meeting. The council unanimously agreed to a nearly $14.34 million construction contract with Trader Construction, along with contingency funds totaling $3.58 million. An additional $538,554 was approved for construction administration. The city has already spent $1.1 million on design, bringing the total cost of the project to nearly $20 million. Mayor P.J. Connolly said the original construction cost estimates were about $24 million. To secure a bid for nearly $10 million less, we've got a 25% contingency, but that's still a significant savings for the citizens of Greenville, Connolly said. The current bulkhead and esplanade are nearly 58 years old and beyond their serviceable life, Nottingham said. The project will replace 1,600 feet of steel bulkhead and make numerous improvements to the park, which hosts concerts and community celebrations and is a favorite place for locals to play. On the west end, crews will build a nature walk path through existing trees and an elevated boardwalk over the river for observation. The central portion of the esplanade will be anchored by two plazas on both ends, Nottingham said, and it will feature a rain garden and terraced seating. The work will also make improvements to the amphitheater loading dock to make it easier for larger vehicles to reach it and unload equipment. On the east end of the park, crews will improve the connection between Town Creek Bridge and the multi-use path that goes through the park, Nottingham said. It will be ADA compliant and have a safer route of travel from the bridge through the park, he said. The east end will also have a boardwalk with shaded swings, terraced seating, and a floating dock that will be 160 feet long. The design costs were funded by the city's American Rescue Plan Act allocation. A state budget allocation provided $5 million and $14 million will come from the city's capital debt service fund and other available funding, Nottingham said. This is a major project for our city. We'll always talk about how the town common is Greenville's Central Park, Connolly said. We want to make sure we maintain it and continue the opportunities.
Thank you. You've been listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. This broadcast is generously supported by the Orchid Group at Morgan Stanley, and they thank them for their contribution. The content of this program is readily available as a podcast after this broadcast by visiting our website, www.ncreadingservice.org.